thinking, man, why is he smiling so big after a testimony like that? Not because of what happened, but because of what God's doing now. This is exactly the kind of church I want to belong to. I want to belong to where we're imperfect people that God's got in our lives. And without God, we'd be a mess. Man, I love the realness. I love real. I don't like phony. I don't like everybody, well, I'm all good, everything's good, when it wasn't always good. Amen? John chapter 3. Some of y'all think, somebody said, well, wait a minute. Well, I thought we was doing this series on don't tell it too soon, right? Well, even in Joseph's story, there was a break. Did y'all know that? It was the tale of where Judah's lineage started. When Joseph was sold into slavery, it all of a sudden it goes into 38, and 38 is the story of Judah's lineage. It has nothing to do with Joseph. Do you know why that is? Because Judah's lineage is Christ's lineage. He comes out of the tribe of Judah. So God puts everything on hold on the story of Judah. Hold on one second while I show you how I'm going to bring forth my son Jesus Christ. I went to a meeting on Sunday night. We didn't have church here, so I thought my first intent was, whew, I ate way too much. I'm going to go into a coma at home. Amen? Y'all act like y'all weren't there. Amen. Okay. Well, I thought, man, that's what I'm going to do. But I got this wind in my sail. And you know what? I knew some people. I knew a church that was really hurting. And they've been going through a whole lot. Really down. But I love the people. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to go. And I went. And then when I first got there, and this is the way I always think, I'm like, maybe when I get up there, God will use me. I don't know. We'll see. No, God took me to school. Amen? I sat down, and this brother, he preached, but when he was preaching, God was stirring me. And man, I almost called y'all and said, hey, let's have church on Monday. Man, I got so tore up, and I was like, man. And then I got up here on Monday, and my friend called and said, we're short-handed up here. We need somebody to come do some classes. I said, I will be there Wednesday morning. I have got something. This is what I got. God gave this to me. He gives me everything I preach, but tonight this is special. Because tonight I want you to lay aside everything that you think you are. What I want you to do is I want you to be really honest with yourself. I want you to really search yourself, because I could easily come in here on Wednesday night and say everybody's saved, it's all good. But what I want you to do is I want you to focus. I want you to know that you know that you know. And I also know this message will go out over the airwaves, and there's going to be people hear this message. And the message is simply, do you believe? And if you find yourself in this message, question whether you believe or not. I want you to come up here, and I want you to commit yourself to the Lord. Amen? That's what I really want you to do. There's another reason I want to preach this. It's John chapter 3. We'll end up in John 3:16. It's the most known verse, or used to be one of the known verses in American history. You go to at the ball game, they used to hold up John 3:16. You see somebody sitting behind home plate holding John 3:16. But today, God's given me something out of it. And he wants me to preach it. And I want you to realize, you know what? I want a church who knows what they believe. When you're out in this community and you're out in your workplaces, you're out in your schools, I want you to be unflappable, unmovable. I want you to be unshakable in what you know. I want you to be able to say, I go to Flat Top Independent Church and this is what I believe and I'm sticking to it because that's what the Word of God says. Amen. I love context. And this brother preached, but there was some things and I'm sitting there just grinding. And God said, take notes in your mind because you're about to preach this. Y'all ready? John chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 10. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. I want to stop right there and give you some context of where we're at. You've heard me preach this message. I've preached about Nicodemus here before. I know I have. And you, as a child of God, being in church, you've heard Nicodemus preach so many times you could preach it yourself. But I want you to especially pay attention tonight, because there are some things that I want you to get a hold of. I want you to let go of religion, and I want you to grab hold of the relationship of Christ Jesus because you believe in Him. Religion will not get you anywhere, but relationship will get you everywhere. Nicodemus, it does not, make this note right here, it does not make sense to come to Christ when you're lost. When you're lost, it does not make sense to come to Christ, does it? Remember when you were lost? When I was lost, it meant no more of these kind of movies, no more good times, no this, no that. I'm going to have no life. That's what it meant to me. I watched Christian, I said, man, I'm going to have to give up everything. This would be terrible. The music's not great. Truthful. The people can be a little bit uptight. Truthful. Golly, I ran into some policemen. For Christian policemen, you ever run into one? Wait, one of them will pull you over, and they'll read you the right act. You know, you don't do this, you don't do that, they'll pull over, I'm going to read you right. You know what, I'll give you a ticket, but I'm not going to this time. I'm just going to let you out with a warning. Preach! Amen, I will. Amen. All right, so here, it doesn't make sense when you get drawn to God. It doesn't make sense when God's getting a hold of you. Nicodemus, I guarantee you this, was sitting in his house for a long, long time before he walked down there to see Jesus. He's sitting in his house, and he's like, but I am on the Sanhedrin. And not only on the Sanhedrin, but I am the elect few of the Sanhedrin. I mean, if it all comes down to it and we just need 12 members, I'm going to be one of the 12 who sits there and makes a decision. Go, have you ever run the list on God how great you are? God, do you know who I am? Remember, there was a time when one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come into his house. He asked him to come into his house. He didn't wash his feet and he didn't put any ointment on him. You know what he was saying? Hey, Jesus, come into my house and check out me and see how good I do religion. I bet Jesus says, dude, you do great, but you're doing it without me. Okay, I'll move on. Amen. But Nicodemus is sitting there and he's just like, okay, I got my outfit. I got my religious outfit. I got my mufflers, wimplers, crisping pins. Hallelujah. I don't know what those are, but I have a feeling that they look very good. I bet he had all 12 stones of the 12 tribes of Israel on his breastplate. And I bet he was shining them up going, now I'm going to impress him when I go down there. I don't know why I'm going. Anybody else end up in Christ Jesus and didn't know why you was going? Did anybody else ever get saved in here and you were getting saved and you didn't even know it? You say stuff like, I don't even know how I got to the church that day. I don't know how I got up. I don't know why I walked. I don't know why I got on the altar. I don't know how it all happened, but I know God met me there. Nicodemus would tell you the same thing. He said, I don't know what happened to me that night, but I was going through all the reasons why I didn't need to go down there as I was going down there. Going by night. And look like a FBI guy trying to sneak into, you know, going down a wall, coming out of the night. Every time you see Nicodemus' name, he is the one who came to Jesus by night. I hate to tell you this, but everybody in this room came to Jesus by night. We had to come out of our darkness into His marvelous light. Nicodemus is just doing it like us. We're skeptical. We're skeptical about Jesus. We don't know what He can do with our lives. We're scared because we know who we are without Him, but we don't know who we will be with Him. I know exactly who I was without Christ, but I had no idea who He could make me. And I was scared of that because I knew what I liked and I knew how to do certain things and I knew me, but I didn't know who I would be. And I could go back and tell you a bunch of stuff right there. I had a lot of identities when I was lost. Anybody else change your mask every time you got in a different crowd? Hey guys, never mind, it's a different story.
Nicodemus says, man, I don't know what I'm going down there for, but I'm going. And he knocked on the door. I wonder if he was even expecting. Did you remember when you tried to come to Jesus, when you came to Jesus, when you tried to get saved, you came, you didn't expect him to answer, you didn't expect him to be there, you didn't expect him to touch, you didn't expect him to move, but there he was. He knocked on the door, and he opened it, and Jesus is standing right there, and he's like, we know that you're a teacher sent from God. We know that. Because nobody can do the things you do except he be sent by God. We just know that. Ain't that cool? Had you ever, when I was lost, sometimes when I got around Christians, I tried to out-Christian them. I tried to pull a little, you know, a little shaky on them. I tried to, come on, man, help me, amen? I tried to fake them out. I told them about the new Christian song I heard. Is that song right there? I like that. Hey, have you seen this new devotion that's come out? They're like, you? No. Amen? I just tried to fake them out because I figured if I could join them, they wouldn't wear me out with that Jesus they had. Amen? Fake them out. Remember when the first people came to my house trying to witness to me, trying to get me to come to church, and I act all excited about coming to church and say, you got Sunday school? They're like, yeah. I'm like, good. What time does service start? 11. I'm like, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. They're like, yes. Shut the door. My wife goes, we going to church? No. Amen? Can I just be real? All right. Amen. You know what? That would tell me as a Christian, when I got to be a Christian, if I get an encounter with you, I'm not really going to tell you much about my church. I'm going to tell you about my Jesus. Amen? Because if I know if Jesus hooks you, you got to go to church somewhere. Amen? You might. Hope. Never mind. All right. So Nicodemus is standing there. He's opening the door. Jesus said, we know. And Jesus don't even identify Nicodemus. He doesn't even give him a hint of what he's listening to. He says, without a shadow of a doubt, didn't even blink, didn't say, man, that's pretty cool, or you guys are right, or none of that. He goes, you must be born again. I love that. I mean, gosh. We got people who think they're so smart, they're so educated, they got so much going on, but without Christ, they absolutely have nothing going on. If you don't have Jesus, you have to get born again first. I bet he was sitting there thinking, I bet he was embarrassed. I bet he was hurt. Wait a minute. I am a somebody. I have climbed a ladder. People know me. When I go into the market, I get the chief seats. When I sit in the temple, I sit in the chief seats. And when I pray, people listen. No, they listen. I don't. I'll say it again. They might listen, but I don't. And I'm God. Who you talking to? Oh, remember when he talked about the Pharisees praying and that little boy, little publican sinner over there, and he said, oh God, thank you. Oh, I love this stuff right here. He said, oh God, thank you that you did not make me like that guy right over there. Thank you for letting me be a pure lineage, and thank you that I'm holy and righteous. Woo! The guy over here, he rinses his thing and says, God, I'm not even really worthy to talk to you. Yeah. God said, which one do you think I heard? I hear this joker over here who thinks he's just, oh, yeah. Oh, I know, Lord, I know you're hanging off the edge of your seat waiting to hear my prayer. Sometimes I don't even know. Today, I drove across the mountain, and I just, you know me, this is the way I was. I prayed this all the way across this mountain today, and I'm not bragging about it. I prayed it all the way across. I said, God, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Trust you. I trust you. You say, why'd you keep saying that? Because sometimes I don't. Because sometimes I don't. And I had to keep repeating it to him and let him know, God, you know in my heart sometimes I'm not trusting you, but I do trust you. And I'm going to keep saying it until I believe it. And you know me, help me. Amen. And sometimes God will get you in places. I was driving across the mountain today, and I just thought, man, we come out of a class. Oh, boy, I mean, just got melted down. I believe he got saved. I don't know. That's in the works. We'll see. But praise God, I was coming across the mountain, and I was all on a high spiritual high about that. But the next thing you know, God started showing me some stuff. He says, Kevin, when's the last time you just talked to me and told me stuff? You're trying to handle everything instead of letting me do it. So, okay, God, okay. I just started throwing things in there. God, how about this? You want to talk about me and the family? Yeah, let's talk about that. Talk about the church? Yeah, let's talk about this. I mean, man, and at the end, it just got me to a point where I sound like a little baby. God, I trust you. He tells him something. He says, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, the dumbest thing you could ever say as a human being. He said, am I going to enter in my mother's womb again and be born? I'm surprised Jesus didn't shut the door. I don't need you. I don't need you. I know I needed some, but I don't need that. That's not smart. Amen. But he didn't. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't shut the door on you then when he probably should have? Right when you were about to get saved, right when life was about to change, he didn't shut the door on you because you said something dumb. Or you felt something dumb. I remember God drawing me, but I didn't know. But he says, listen. He said, no, you've been born of the water, but you got to be born of the Spirit. And see, he says, you know, when you get born of the Spirit, you can tell. He said, because there's going to be certain things happen to you. Nobody's going to see the Spirit on you or in you. They're going to see the effects of it. Amen? He said, when the wind blows, he said, can you tell? He said, I can tell when the wind's blowing. He said, can you see the wind? No, I can't see the wind. What do you see? I see leaves blow. I see flags fly. I see things like that happen. He said, okay, you've seen the effects of it. He said, if the Holy Spirit gets on, if you get saved, guess what? You ain't going to do the same things you used to because there's going to be something that's affecting you. And people are going to see, I don't know what happened to you, but I know you're different than you were. Amen? So he goes on with this. And Nicodemus, this is where we're going to get to. This is where we're at right now. Nicodemus couldn't figure that out, so he asked him another question. He said, Lord, how can these things be? And Jesus just went and dropped the spiritual bomb on him, the thing that gets you saved. And we don't hear from Nicodemus again, but we see him do some things. But I want you to hear this. He goes, listen, Nicodemus. He said, I tried to give you some earthly comparisons. And you couldn't figure that out. That's good. But then he said, why would I give you heavenly things? Because you can't even figure out the earthly things. Amen? But what he was doing, he was setting him up because he's gonna really tell him how to get saved. And that's what I come here to do tonight, is really tell you how to get saved. Amen? And you say, why? I'm already saved. I'm going to tell you how to get saved. That way when somebody's in front of you, you can tell them how to get saved. So he says, hey, that's where we're at. He says, hey, remember Moses? Look at this, verse 14. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Hey, did you know what? You know what's crazy about that? I want y'all to get this point. And you share this with somebody that's not in this church, and you're going to sound like a genius. Ready? I like stuff like that. I like whipping something out on somebody I don't know. Amen? Do you know that they took that serpent? Okay, when the children of Israel were coming out in Exodus and going through the wilderness, they offended God. And God sent some fiery serpents down and bit them. Remember that? And them fiery serpents were biting them and they was dying. So they went and they turned and repented to God. And they said, God, will you save us? And God said, I'll save you. Here's how I'm going to save you. You get you a brazen serpent and you lift it up on a pole. Amen? And everybody that looks unto the brazen serpent, when you look unto it, you must believe that that brazen serpent can fix the problem you've been bit by. Oh, God, this is so good. It sounds smart, don't it, Derry? Amen, preacher, something like that. And you know what? That was a type and shadow of Christ. Because see, what was going to be happening is he's wanting to do an explanation. We've all been bit by a fiery serpent. We've all been bit by Satan. We've all been bit by sin. Okay? But then Jesus was put on the cross. But when he was put on the cross, he wasn't the Son of God. He became sin that knew no sin. Amen? See, Jesus, when he was lifted up on the cross, God couldn't look at him because he had become sin. And God can't look unto sin. All right? So Jesus become, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. He became the thing that bit you. Scott, amen, something like that, hallelujah. All right, I've heard you at the football game. Just go nuts every once in a while. All right, listen. Now look, see, when you get bit, you say, well, the serpent, that one fiery serpent bit him, and it was the same bite. No, listen. Sin, everybody in here might get bit a little different, but the cure is the same. Hallelujah. Amen? Some of y'all might have a little biting serpent. Some of y'all might have an adultery. Some of y'all might have a fornication. Some of y'all have a pornographic. Maybe drugs. It may be a combination of bites. Praise God. Same fix, for all the bites. Golly, if y'all don't never shout and praise God, it's Wednesday night and ain't nobody here but us, and you still can't shout and praise God, there's a problem. What do you want from us, brother? A hallelujah, amen, shout the glory, something, amen? Because some of y'all were bit, and you were hellbound, and you know you were hellbound, but something bit you, but you looked unto Christ, and you ain't no longer bit, you ain't no longer dying, you ain't no longer hellbound, and that's shouting worthy. I don't care if you're the wettest, the driest wood on the whole beach, that's still worth shouting about. Glory. Well, I'm just not a shouter. Well, praise God, one day when heaven comes into view, you'll be a shouter then. People won't recognize you. You'll be over going, glory, 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 glory. And somebody will say, Susie, is that you? We thought you wasn't a shouter. I didn't know it was like this. I didn't know I'd get out of that. I seen where the other ones ended up, and praise God, I don't belong here. Hallelujah. Every once in a while, God shows me who I was, what I deserve, and where I'm headed now. And that's a big difference. So he says, I want to show you. Can I show y'all something really cool? Here's what I was talking about. Go over to, if you can, run over. You don't have to if you don't want to. 2 Kings 18:4. 2 Kings 18:4. It's a Bible drill. Go, 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 go. I'm on beachings. I've already got you beat. 18:4. Got you. I didn't even mark you. Oh, who? You was close. Did you really beat me? Whew. If you didn't see us now, you're between you and the Lord. Amen. No, I believe she beat me. Y'all good? Y'all ready? Check this out. Guess what happened? Now, this is going to be a big point. I want y'all to get this tonight, 2 Kings 18:4. And he removed the high places. I mean, this is Hezekiah. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto the days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nehushtan. You can go back to John chapter 3. Ain't that cool? Can you believe that? You believe what happened? Them rascals. They started worshiping the thing God worked through, not God. Amen? Oh, we're going to worship that brazen serpent. Man, it was so awesome. God worked through that serpent. And that's what we're going to worship. That's what we're going to focus on. We'll focus on that, and we'll take our focus on the one who made the serpent in the first place, God. You say, brother, what are you talking about? What has that got to do with anything? We are guilty of this. So many times we fall in love with the stuff God made or worked through, and we look more to it than we look to God who made that stuff. I mean, we'll sit there and tell people about things that's happened in our church and the things we got in our church and this and that and other, and we won't even tell them about God who is the main reason we come to church. Have you seen this? Have you seen that? Have you done this? Have you done that? We got this and we got that. And we've done this and we've done that. And God's over there going, hello. You're worshiping the things that I've worked through, but you're not worshiping me. Let's not make that mistake. We can have all kinds of great things. And believe me, I want to use every tool in the shed. I want to use every avenue. I want to use every approach. I want to use every body. I want to use everything. And if God shows out through it and in it, I'll be the first one to say, that was good. But you won't ever say, hey, we're going to keep doing that because that's what God does. We're going to worship God. And if God says, burn that and do something new, we'll burn it. Woo-hoo-hoo! That's good talk right now, but let's see when it happens. You can't preach like this in some churches. And maybe we can't preach in here like that right now. We'll find out in about a month, won't we? Somebody said one of the most honest things I've ever heard the other day. I ain't going to say who. She'll come see me later, or he. They said, brother, oh, can't even look around. Hey, brother, it's almost Pastor Appreciation Month. I don't know if we're going to wait or not. But we might not as wait because we might not like you in a few months. Yes! Glory! You doggone right. I told him, I said, do it on high tide, baby. Do it on... God, I love that stuff. That's the stuff that just makes me laugh. I love it. I love it. Oh, glory. Y'all good? Everybody good? Got more amens right there than I did the whole time. That's good. Inside amens. Everybody's like, oh, no, amen. Y'all good? God, I'm sorry about that. I'll act up on it. Let's get in the meat. Here's the meat. Here's what I come to preach. Don't worship the things God was in. Worship God. Now let's get into the real meat. I want y'all to leave here with this. I want you to know it, and I want you to be able to share it the rest of your life. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Underline that belief part. It's important because that's what we're going to move into next. We're going to get John 3:16, and I know there's many there's older Christians here, young Christians, immediate Christians, whatever you want to call yourself. But you can leave here and have a true understanding of this verse, and I'm going to break it down in two parts, John 3:16. And I want you to be able to share this with people that are lost. And I'm sharing it with you if you're lost. Verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Stop right there. God's got more invested in your salvation than you do. Amen? I don't want anybody at Flat Top Independent Church to ever go around saying, "What'd God do for me?" Or "What? Why ain't God this?" Or "Why God?" Matter of fact, let's write it down. If you make notes, write it this way. Don't ever say, "Why God?" Because over 2,000 years ago, He died on a cross for you while you were yet a sinner. Amen? He died for you. He paid the ultimate price. He laid down His life on Calvary for you. Amen? So don't ever ask the question. Now listen, I know what you're doing right now. I do it too. There's circumstances in your life that knock you all over your knees. Right? And you'll say, "God, why?" And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying this. I'm just saying, when you come to your rational mind, don't sit there and think God ain't nothing done nothing for you. He loved you when nobody else did. And He went to the ultimate. He done something for you. He became sin that knew no sin. He loves you so much that He laid His life down for you, His only begotten Son for you. And you know what He did? I thought about this day, and as I was preparing this message, God showed me some stuff. Have you ever been embarrassed because of your faith? Were you ever worried about being embarrassed about your faith? Well, every time you think about that, you think about Jesus. He hung on a cross for hours, and He didn't have a stitch of clothes on. He was beaten beyond all recognition, and people sat there for hours and ridiculed Him. So the next time you think to yourself, "Well, I don't want to get embarrassed," you think about Jesus who didn't deserve any of that, and He was embarrassed beyond all recognition. Here's another one of God run right through my life. I thought about this. Has anybody left you or forsook you, or are you worried about losing some friends in your life? Because you're going to serve God. For God so loved you so much that guess what? Every one of His friends forsook Him when He went to the cross. When He stood before Pilate, not one person stood up and said, "Don't do this." Not one person said, hey, don't do this. This is wrong. Nobody at the cross stood up and said, "You know what? I want to die with Him because this is wrong." It said, the shepherd was smote and the sheep fled. Everybody that He would have been sowing into their lives and loving on the day of crucifixion didn't show up for Him. So if you lose some people, some friends, some people that you count on, and you think it's a big deal, you go back to the cross and you remember Jesus lost everybody at the cross that He counted on. And He didn't deserve it. Amen? Golly, that's real, ain't it? So you think to yourself, "Man, Jesus at the cross loved me so much. He didn't love us when we done it right. He didn't love us when we came and prayed. He loved us while we were yet enemies." And He said it at the cross. "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." You know, He wasn't speaking just to the people there that day. He was speaking down through the annals of time. And anybody before that who believed in God, and everybody after, He said, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." He simply forgave you while you were His worst enemy. While you were being crucified for your sins. So you think about all this stuff all the time. "Well, I don't know. What has God done for me? What can He do for me? What will my life look like?" You know what? He said, "I became a dying sacrifice." Where you can be a, whew, wait a minute. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I think that's a little bit lopsided, don't you? What? Jesus says, "I'll die for you. And I want you to do me a favor. Will you live for me?" And not only life, I'll give you life that's more abundant. A life that's so full of me and so full of accomplishment and so full of love and so full of hope and faith. I'll give that to you, and everybody else that don't have me will be empty. And you're sitting there going, my God, how did I deserve this? So the first part of that, I want you, when somebody ever comes to you and you're a member of this church, say, well, what's God done? He's let all this ISIS happen and the world fall. You look at them squarely and say, God died for you where you can be set free. That all this would have no effect on you if you trust Him. You're going to sound like a radical. But that's okay. You're going to have some more people come to this church if you go out there and do that too, by the way. One, just to come and see what we're doing. And number two, they'll be wanting to come and be a part of it. Y'all ready? You ready for this next part? The second part is the most important. That whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is why I come to preach this message today. This is the single, number one, A reason I came to preach this message. I've been raised in church. I started getting raised in church around about 10. I started walking to churches when I was about 6 and 7 years old. In a little town called Polk County, I'd go to churches and I just walk to church. God, Baptist church, whoever's door was open, because nobody really cared what I was doing, so I'd go just do whatever I wanted to do. Amen? But on Sundays, I'd happen up in some churches. That's probably why I'm such a mixed bag. Amen? Never mind, y'all get that later. I'll just be honest with you. That's why I don't really care what the sign on this church says out here. That's why I don't care. I've got friends of mine, when I say it, they look at me like I'm turned sideways. What? It's okay. They're friends of mine, but they don't get it. I don't care. It don't matter if we had Baptist, church, God, whatever on this sign out here. If we ain't got Jesus in here, don't matter what sign we got on the sign. If we ain't got nothing down here, it ain't going to matter what we got out there. This is what I've been hearing since I was little. Now, I'm going to preach something to you totally different tonight. You're going to sit here and wonder if I'm telling you the truth, but I am. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For years, we've been telling people, you need to act right. If you come to church, you need to not cuss, you don't need to lie, you don't need to steal, you don't need to use drugs, you don't need to do this, right? I hate to tell you this. It's not true. What? If you believe in Jesus Christ, I don't have to tell you to do anything. I don't have to convince you to live for God, because if you believe in Him, you'll want to live for Him. If somebody has to convince you to live for God constantly, 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 then you don't believe in Him, you don't trust in Him, you trust in yourself. I'm going to tell y'all some radical stuff, and I don't want a bunch of stuff in this congregation right now. I want you to be quiet for a minute. I believe that Tennessee is the best college football team in America. You get it? You hear what I just said? You say, how do you know, preacher? Because I believe. On Saturdays, you'll see me do something. It's weird. I put on a Tennessee shirt. I do. Bright orange. Sometimes gray. Because they got that new gray thing going on. I'm part of the team. I think it's... Every year, I believe that they are going to win the national championship. Somebody asked me, Dooley's head coach, going to win the national championship? Yes, we are. 0-3, you going to win the national championship? Not this year, but next year we are. We're going to get a recruiting class. We're going to be the best team in America. We're going to come back and we'll do it. I'm rocking on 11 years now, but I still believe it. And if anybody comes to me and says, hey, I got this Alabama shirt. You want to try it on? I say, you get out of here with your third world country shirt. I don't want that. If I wanted to live in a third world country, I'd go to South America. I do not want an Alabama shirt. Well, they're doing good. They're winning. I don't care. I don't believe in them. I'm preaching. Y'all think I'm being funny, but I'm preaching. Somebody said, well, you want to wear my Georgia shirt? What in the world would I do with that? My car's not dirty. And even if it was, I wouldn't wash it with that. Because I'm a Tennessee fan. And I trust in them. And I said that to where y'all could kind of gather in with me and know what I'm saying. But let me try to hit you where you're at right now. There's some of you in this room right now. You have faith in something beyond measure. You got faith in these pews. And there's a couple in you. I'm just telling you, you got big faith. I mean, you came in here, and I'm watching right now, and you're leaned all the way back in these things, and you got one leg up, and some of you got your arms where you ain't even holding yourself, and you are all up in these chairs, and you're like, these things got me. I'm resting in them. I am free in this. I can handle this. I'm resting. I'm secure. I'm safe. And you're saying, man, these chairs ain't going to let me down. Hello? You believe in them. And if you didn't, you'd be sitting like this. I said, go ahead and sit on down. Mm-mm. Right? I can't truly trust him. If you really trust in Jesus Christ, I don't have to tell you not to lie. Because every time you do lie, it breaks your heart and it breaks God's heart. I don't have to tell you not to smoke dope or do dope, because if you do, it breaks your heart and it breaks God's heart. I don't have to tell you to not cheat on your taxes or cheat on your wife or cheat on anybody else, because if you do, it breaks your heart and God's heart. And you're not happy until you get that right, because you believe in Him. I believe in God. I believe in Him. I don't have to tell anybody to do anything, and I don't have to have anybody tell me. If I have to tell you, you need to live your life better, and you better do this, that's religion. And you know what? You're never going to be able to do it until you truly trust Jesus. And when you truly trust Jesus, you'll want to do it. Because it's the greatest life you've ever had. You can rest in Him. I mean, you can leisure in Him. You can put your whole weight in Him. See, I'm preaching to you right now. Listen, when you trust God, when you believe in God, you can sit all the way down in who He is, and you never have to worry again whether He's going to take control and care of your life. And nobody can convince you otherwise. Nobody could come and say, hey, let me show you something over here that's better than God. Hey, let me lead you over here and take you somewhere that's better than God, that satisfies more than God. You know what? King David said it best. He said, I have never, ever, ever seen the righteous begging bread. Glory, glory, glory. When I was lost, I had no idea what that verse meant. But the day that I got Jesus, amen. I have never hungered again. When I was lost, I would cram everything this world had into this. Amen? And a girl? Yes. Nope. Drugs? Yes. No. Job? Yes, that'll do. Yeah, no. House? Land? Title? Something? Everything? Nothing fit, nothing satisfied. I could preach all night long about this. Try everything the world had. Everything. Get up 2 weeks later, and everything that I thought was going to bring me satisfaction is garbage. Amen. But once I tried Jesus, Jesus says one thing. He says, try me, taste me, and see. He gave me the taste challenge. He says, just take one bite of me, and you'll see. Amen. You'll never hunger again. I've wanted my whole life until I met Jesus. When I met Jesus and I accepted Him and tasted and found that He was good, I know there's nothing in this world to satisfy like Him. Amen. There's nothing nobody can offer me that can even come close to Jesus. Amen. And that's why I came here to preach this tonight. Let's all stand as they come get a song. I want to ask you a question. Do you have that? Do you have that right there? A total belief in Jesus Christ. No, listen, I want to ask you this. I want you to hear this in your heart. Have you put all your trust and faith in Christ Jesus? And you believe that He's the Son of God? And you don't have a shadow of a doubt. A shadow of a doubt in your life.
Amen.
If you do, I don't care if you got a title. I don't care if everybody in this church says one thing and you say another. I don't care. This is what I want you to do. I want you to understand that salvation is a free gift. And you can receive it anytime. And why not today? If there's a doubt, now listen, there's no mistake that you're here. There's no mistake that you're listening to this message. If there's a doubt in your mind, if you've ever accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, when they start playing this music, I want you to step out. I want you to come up here and say, God, I want you to save my soul. I want you to forgive me of my sins and my trespasses. I want you to be the Lord of my life, and I want to know it. If you even have a doubt, if you have one iota of doubt, because it won't do us no good to come to church here if we don't know Jesus. We can do a lot of things, but if we don't know Jesus, it's all for naught. And if you need me, if you want me to, I'm going to stand right down here. If you need me to, you come and grab me and say, preacher, pray with me. And this is what I'm going to tell you. Pray out of your own heart and ask God to be the Lord of your life. Repent and ask Him to be the Lord of your life. But I will pray with you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just for a moment. Are you sure? I know it's Wednesday. I know everybody's supposed to be saved in here. I know that. But what if there's one that's not? If you would, please step out and come. I'll be right here if you need me. If you don't, just come on to the altar.